like I said, I was just blown away by your book. What got you barking up this tree, as it were?
Well, you know, I've studied the murder of John F. Kennedy now for probably since roughly 85. I've read everything I could on it. And naturally, when you start studying Kennedy, it makes you much more suspicious of our government when you start really, truly getting into the facts of what happened back then. And so one thing led to another, and, you know, I got my TV show Conspiracy Theories, and that stemmed out of the murder of Kennedy, too, because I was sitting with my agent and things like that, and somehow we got onto the subject, and I was so enthusiastic and passionate, my agent looked around and said, "This is a television show waiting to happen." When I wrote the book, American Conspiracies, my last book, a lot of people right away try to label you then, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, and somehow that has bad connotations to it. I don't think it does. I think it means you're engaged and you want to know the truth about things. And so, you know, there was a lot of controversy over my last book, so really this book stemmed out of it. Okay, let's show some government documents out to the people. Let's show the people what the government's been doing since roughly World War II, my lifetime. I was born in 1951, so it kind of starts right about the time, you know, that I entered the planet and going forward. And, you know, when you start seeing the documentation in this book, it's not Jesse Ventura telling you this. It's not Jesse Ventura's imagination. These are your own government documents. And let me add this. I don't know how many people know, but last year alone, the government declared 16 million documents top secret that you and I can't see. 16 million. That must be every document they do, pretty much.
Yeah, really. There's so much in your book that really sets the mind reeling. What would you say rankles you the most?
Oh, that's, I don't want to give you a political answer, but there's so much. I mean, experimenting on our own soldiers, the fact that the CIA has an assassination manual, how to commit first-degree murder. Where would we go from there? Internment camps and the preparation for martial law and things going on around there. And I might add, that was my TV show that the government came down on the parent network of True TV, and now allegedly that show doesn't exist. They pulled it, so even I'm being censored. And that was, are we turning into a police state, where we showed a Homeland Security bill that said FEMA will build no less than 6 internment camps. Now, who are they for? The last time we had internment camps were for our Japanese American citizens, I believe, back in World War II, where these were Americans stuck into internment camps simply because they happened to be of Japanese descent.
What about climate change as a threat to national security?
Well, that's a document where the military itself has done extensive studies, and they acknowledge that there's climate change. Yet you've got a lot of naysayers out there that say, no, it just happens and all that. So not, this is document showing that even our U.S. military is aware of it and feel that it's a national security item, that it's that big. Now, let me state this. I do question the methods that are being brought forward to battle climate change. I think cap and trade is a farce, because it doesn't do anything to solve the problem. It simply allows big multinational corporations to buy their way out of the problem without fixing it on climate change. And the other thing it sets the stage for, well, this would then be an international tax, which then means, of course, anytime money comes to something, it begins to grow. And I think climate change is being used in this cap and trade thing as an excuse to almost create a new world order or new world government.
Jesse, what would you say to people? I know when I got involved in reading, I read everything I could get my hands on the JFK conspiracies way back when. And it does put you in the kind of mindset where you sort of see things everywhere. Just to ask you the question, what would you say if somebody says, yeah, you're really too involved in this conspiracy stuff, you see them everywhere?
Well, you know, again, it's called educating yourself. It isn't things you make up. It's documents you read, leads you follow, interviews you do. I take great heat because I question 9/11 now.
I was going to ask you about that.
There's questions on 9/11, and we provide documentation in this book that shows, I always wondered as a former military person, where was our jet fighters that day? Where was our air defense that day when four civilian major hijacked airlines were running around the country smashing into buildings? Well, we produced the document that shows June 1st, 2001, there was a stand-down order, and it applied that day. So all it required was if you couldn't reach Rumsfeld. The deal, up until that time, it had been left up to base commanders to make the call. Well, they changed that, and you now had to have permission from the DOD or Department of Defense. And if you recall, on 9/11, for literally a couple hours, no one could find Donald Rumsfeld. Well, there's your stand-down order, because he had to give permission to go airborne. And then there's other documents. We do a whole thing, you know, focused right on 9/11, and yet I still get attacked. I still get told, oh, you're crazy and all this stuff. Well, the documents speak for themselves. Insider trading before 9/11 happened, where people were profiting, you know, and knew that something was up. And then, of course, you have document 47, the free fall of Building 7. Now, do you realize that probably half the people in the United States don't even know that a third building went down that day that was not struck by a plane, went down at 5:20 in the evening? And NIST's own report, they drug their feet on it, and it came out, you know, 6-7 years later. It took them, in the report itself, it says the building went into total free fall. Well, the only way that that happens is to remove all resistance. Otherwise, you're defying the laws of physics, and you can't do that. Physics is what it is. Newton's laws of gravity are what they are. And for a building to go into total free fall, the only way that happens, all resistance removed. The only way that that happens is the use of demolition.
Jesse, do you think that it's something more sinister, or simply the Bush-Cheney administration being inept?
Well, that's what I've come to. There's three things. Either they participated in it, or number two, they knew about it and allowed it to happen, or number three, they were the biggest buffoons on the planet and most inept. But I can't believe that, because the last one too much, because the documents indicate too often that they did know and that there was manipulation going on. I mean, how do you explain the change in the stand down order? Always remember this. The government runs under standard operating procedures. Anytime those are violated, that's the first thing you look for a sign of a conspiracy, or something's not kosher, something's not right, is when those things are violated, changed, or other things.
You know, Jesse, reading your book and the one before this, and just talking to you, you are so passionate. Now, it sounds to me like you want to do something about this in the political arena.
I spend my time in Mexico all winter now, and I do a great deal of reading down there. And we lost a tremendous writer a little while back by the name of Hunter S. Thompson. And I was reading Hunter's work back in the 60s and 70s, and Hunter was warning everybody back then about what was going to happen in 20 years. And if you read his writings, he was right on. And so maybe I look at myself, if I could be humble and say, maybe I'm now to replace Hunter. You know, and I know that's something, I'm not saying that on ego, but because he was phenomenal. But maybe that's my calling now, is to start warning. But what else can you do after the warning? I refer to the U.S. people now as a bunch of lemmings. You know, but then I understand why they may be. You know why? Do you drink fluoride water?
I drink water from my well.
Okay, your well's okay.
Yeah.
But you know, when they put fluoride in the water, mm-hmm. You're right, that government told us it was all, so I guess because we can't brush our teeth and use mouthwash ourselves to take care of our teeth, so the government's going to do it for us with fluoride. Well, fluoride in the water was originally done by the Nazis. And did you know that fluoride, you know what it's the main ingredient to?
What?
Prozac. So you
fear
know, if everybody that's drinking fluoride water is really drinking Prozac water, and maybe that's to dumb them down and turn them into zombies.
Fear and loathing in Mexico or Minnesota, right?
I don't know.
So, Jesse, of course, there's a big buzz about you perhaps running for office again as a VP candidate with Ron Paul, who I know you admire.
Well, I dedicated the book to Congressman Paul because he was the only one that stood up on the floor of Congress and made a passionate statement that WikiLeaks hasn't killed anybody. How many people have died from the trumped-up evidence and the manipulation that put us in, and the lies that put us into the Iraq War? And then he said something even more profound, I thought. He said, in a free country, when telling the truth is called treason, when the truth equals treason, then we are in bad shape. And I can't agree with Congressman Paul Moore. I did say I would give it serious consideration. I didn't say I would do it. The thing you got to judge me by is my hair. If the hair gets cut off, that means, because ironically, I couldn't run now because, I'm bald on top, but I have hair that falls down to my shoulders. And isn't that amazing that you couldn't run looking like I look like right now? I mean, I'm the same brain in my head. I'm the same person, but just because I happen to surf now and don't cut my hair, I guess that would stop me from getting elected.
Hey, it's not stopping. It's not stopping.
I shave my head again or get a haircut.
It's not stopping Donald Trump.
Well, he ought to shave his head. No, I say that seriously because then his hair will no longer be an issue. Right now, his hair it would be the main issue with the media and all that stuff. And Donald, come on, who cares? You're bald. So am I. I don't hide it. You don't have to hide it like that. It's a male thing anyway. Women don't care.
We really don't.
Women think they're more attractive with hair. And it is not true because I've quizzed many women about it, and they've said hair basically is irrelevant on a man, that they look for many, many other things before hair raises its head.
Well, you're right. You're right. So when will you make a decision, do you think? Are you still mulling it over?
The ball's now in his court. Mm-hmm. I laid it out there, but again, I didn't say I would. And then again, we might have to flip a coin. Maybe I want to be president and he's VP.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. And how's your show going on True TV?
Real well. We've had two remarkable seasons of it. Now, it's at the point now where they're going to have to decide if we get a third, but all indications seem positive. But if you know Hollywood like I do, you don't believe it till it's happening and the first check clears the bank. But they have put my son back on payroll. Of course, he's a producer-director in on the TV series. So that's a good sign. I mean, why they would put him back on the payroll, because we completed all production, of course, last fall, and now he's back on payroll again, starting to do preliminary work. And so I guess that's a good sign that we'll be back on for a third season.
Well, Jesse, it was a blast talking to you. Anything you want to leave us with?
Well, just as I said, read this book, because this book's scarier than anything Stephen King could write. Because Stephen only writes figments of his imagination. He has a great imagination, and he does a marvelous job on what he does, one of the greatest writers ever, of horror and terror and all that. But here you've got a book that's just as frightening as anything Stephen King could write, and this book is based on true facts and documents, and I hope everybody reads it because it's a wake-up call.